Here.
Scott Olson here by remote. TM Scruggs. TM Scruggs requested an excused absence. Carol, Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka here. Ramses Tion Nichols. Ramses absent.
Present.
Oh, Ramses, I didn't know. Okay. Ramses here by remote. Carol Travis. Carol Travis here. Andrea Turner requested an excuse absence. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees here. Carol Wolfley here. Lisa Detmer requested an excused absence. Anthony Fest. Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina Jacobs here. Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch here. Richard Walensky. P.I. Richard Walensky, physically here. Okay, Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer here. Okay, I want to acknowledge the presence of Susan De Silva and also Carol Spooner. I know that there are questions about their participation, and I will mark them present. Thank you.
But they will not be voting. Just while we're in this interim period with questions to be answered. Thank you.
well, this is Bill Campisi, point of order.
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Or maybe a point of information. Are we going to take up the issue of Carol Spooner's and Susan De Silva's status as delegates on the LSB today?
We will be discussing it in executive session. Well, we'll be discussing the legal issues in executive session, so that won't be a part. But as we just said, as Carol just said, we're not, they will not be voting at this point until some of the questions that are answered. I don't know if you read the emails that went out with those questions, but there were a lot of questions that we're looking to get answered before we make a decision. Thank you. What is it, Steve?
Yeah, there's a court order, a judgment, and I want to make a motion that we abide by that.
You're out of order,
Steve,
and it's not time for motions.
Yeah, well, that's
right
a public on the
that's
issue.
Fine.
On the
no,
issue you're
no,
discussing.
No, you will. We will wait, and we will have order in this meeting.
This was raised.
You do not
by him.
Talk over me. We
I was. I was not finished with what I was saying.
I don't care. You're out of order.
Yeah, well, I was not finished with what
I'm
I was
ruling saying. You out of order. You are out of order. That's it. Thank you. There is an appeal. There's a process taking place. And we're waiting until that happens. And we just said that they're not voting. So that's our position right now. Carol, point of information. Thank you. We're still on the roll call, so go ahead.
I make a motion that we accept the people's excuses who have asked for excused absences.
A second? Okay. A question? Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes. Thank you. Yes, Carol.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda with any necessary correction.
Do I have a second? We're voting on the agenda right now. Okay, all those in favor? Are there? Do I have any amendments on the agenda? Okay, Steve had his hand up first. Anthony?
Very simple amendment. I think we ought to keep to our usual practice and then also correspond to what was on that KPFTX version of the agenda and have public comment and announcements as the immediate items after approval of the agenda.
Let me speak to that. Do I have a second on that?
Yes.
Okay. the information that I had been given by Carol is that management specifically requested that they be on the agenda after this because they have other pressing things to attend to. So that is why we have that different order. Yes? Bill, could you turn your mic down? So that is why the order is different this time, Anthony.
I was hoping this wasn't going to be a precedent, and it may all be moot because I don't know if anyone is here to give public comment.
There are two people here. Yes, Steve? Well, we have a motion on the floor that we need to deal with first. Did you have something on the motion, Steve?
One is the on the minutes, proposed resolution on the LSB Technology and Multimedia Committee and the biannual town hall meetings are old business. They're not new business. They've already been made a motion and seconded, so that's old business. And secondly, on the management's report, I make a motion that we also have an executive session so we can cover some of the issues in the executive session that have taken place at the station.
We will have an executive session today, Steve.
With the manager.
No, not necessarily.
Well, that's my motion, that we have an executive session with the manager on some of the issues that have taken place at the station. That's my motion. Is there a second?
Point of information, how many motions do we have on the floor now?
No, we haven't even finished with the other motion.
Approve the agenda.
That's right. Now we've got it. So we can't entertain another. Okay. And we have a second on it. So although I personally am. Yes. Do we have discussion on the motion? We have a first and second. Do we have a discussion?
Yeah, well, I can't go into the specifics of the issues, but there have been some incidents at the station that require a report about what's happening there, and I propose that it be an executive session. That's when personnel issues and others come up. Well, I want to discuss at least a report and discussion so we have an opportunity to ask questions. I haven't seen the GM report. But I believe that the personnel issues...
Okay, wait. No crosstalk. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I believe that the personnel issues is an appropriate thing for the executive session.
No, not yet.
And I think we need an executive session on what's happened at the station. I don't want to talk about it in public.
Okay. Thank you. I want to bring something up because that brings up... I'm going to take a privilege as the chair. There's a big confusion amongst a lot of people about the difference between management and governance. And we are here to do governance, not to manage individuals. Personnel issues come rife with possible litigation, liability issues, and that's why we hire managers. We have the manager to manage personnel. So we are not going to be discussing individual staff people or individual issues that may be in litigation right now, not only in the grievance process, but in court. And if that is why there will be a broad stroke discussion of what happened at the station. We're not going to go into individuals because of what I just described as liabilities. And Susan, you had your hand up? I'm going to allow the question.
I was just wondering, Steve, if what you meant was you want to move the executive section up to
Steve, if you continue to interrupt people when you're not called on, we will ask that you leave. Could you please wait until she finishes? I'm allowing her to speak as the chair because she has been on the board and she has information to share as one of the people who originally wrote up the bylaws, and so did Carol Spooner. So I'm going to allow the information for people because they are the ones who originated the bylaws that we're here to interpret. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I was just wanting to clarify, Steve, whether what you're asking for is that the executive session be moved up to right after the management report.
No, my amendment is that as part, during the management's report, we have an executive session with the manager to find out this information about what's happened at the station.
Okay. Sharon had her hand up.
An amendment on the agenda.
I want to first object to Steve's request to change the minutes, because we're doing the agenda right now, and that's something that should be discussed when we get to the minutes. I want to suggest that we do time shares, which I'm willing to do. And I want to say that I want to oppose Steve's motion to move the executive session up. If we choose to have an executive session during management, we can choose to do it at that time. We don't have to make the decision right now. And so I'm going to vote against it.
Carol?
This is Bill Campisi with a point of information.
Point of information, Bill.
Is Steve proposing an executive session today with the general manager, or is he asking that we vote on something that will happen in the future so that somebody contacts the executive director and asks him to come to discuss this issue? I don't understand. There is an executive session planned for today, but I'm wondering if he's thinking...
He's proposing today and with the general manager, is my understanding.
About.
I want to vote against it because I think if we have it, what will happen is the questions will be asked and the answers will be, I can't speak on that. There's that's private personnel matters and there's pending litigation. And so it's a waste of time. I will vote against it.
Could somebody answer my question, please?
Yes, she did. He's asking for an executive session during the general manager's report today. Okay. I cannot vote. My status is indeterminate at the moment. But I want to support Steve. There is a difference between management and oversight. The LSB cannot step in and try to do the manager's job. However, the LSB, I think, should be informed about important matters, including legal matters, that affect the station. Under executive session rules, which means it's kept very confidential, and it still means that certain kinds of personnel matters that are subject to the employee's rights of confidentiality cannot be discussed. But I think to close out the possibility of
point of information
talking about things in executive session is probably a good idea.
Point of information,
okay.
Sabrina.
Let me be clear. Clarification. I didn't say we couldn't discuss things in executive session. What I suggested and what I stated, rather, is they will be very limited because of the probability of litigation on two different avenues. One is the grievance procedure, which has started. The second one is the legal procedure, which is also in machinations. And those are typically the things that have caused lawsuits over the years, myriad lawsuits at Pacifica. So I'm going to limit the amount of discussion about what has happened regarding this incident. I'm not opposed to discussing it in executive session, but I don't see that it's necessary because I don't think we're going to find out much. But if the body wants to do it, I'm obviously open to that. And Sabrina had a point of order.
Yeah, no, point of information. I have a question about the bylaws. The bylaws clearly state that personnel matters are supposed to be handled on the national level. Okay, that's not correct? Okay. Well, I was under the impression that personnel issues are dealt with on the national level because of that situation, that possible situation of litigation that you just stated, Christina. So if somebody could point that out in the bylaws, since we have Carol Spooner here who wrote the bylaws.
As a point of information, Sabrina, I think what the bylaws do is they do not meet out that we have any involvement in person. If you read all over 7, it's section 7, nowhere does it give the LSB the responsibility of doing day-to-day management and personnel management.
Okay, well, this is
so
day-to-day management,
right? So I think that's what
right?
you're interpreting, possibly.
Okay. And so it's open to interpretation? I mean, it's not clear.
In
order to avoid the litigation that you just spoke of, Christina,
yeah,
I think, Madam Chair, it's very important that we steer away from that.
I agree. Thank you. And Richard?
Yeah, I'm fine with the questions being asked in executive session of the manager, simply because it gives people an opportunity to ask the questions. The answer could very well be, I can't discuss it. But if people want to ask the questions, I don't see a reason why they can't ask the questions.
And I agree with you on that. Did you have something, Carol?
Call the question.
Do I have a second on calling the question? All those in favor? Calling
I'm sorry,
question.
Can you repeat the motion,
calling
please?
The question. Okay. Those opposed?
Will somebody be counting?
Keep your hands up, people. All three of them in favor?
Steve, you did not write this up.
It's an amendment. It's okay. Okay, so now
we asked the question. We had a roll call on that.
Okay.
Okay, I can't do a roll call until I have written.
On the question or on the which thing?
A roll call on the vote on the on the amendment. There's an amendment to the minutes. I mean, to the proposed agenda.
It does.
Yeah. That you don't need a vote. You don't need a. It's not a.
I do. Because I have records.
Restate the motion, would you? And you could write it down and give it to Carol.
The motion that, as part of the manager's report, we have an executive session.
Write it down and give it to Carol. Okay, I think we understand the motion now. Does everyone understand the motion on the table right now? And all those in favor of the Steve's motion, please raise your hand. Oh, that's right. Could you do the roll call, Secretary?
Sharon Adams, Marilla Arguelles, William Campisi,
Abstain,
Chris Corey, opposed. I want to note everyone else is abstained so far. Brian Crowell is absent. Christina Huggins. Christina opposed. Scott Olson.
Abstain.
Scott Olson abstains. Aki Tanaka. Aki abstain. Ramsey Steele Nichols.
Abstain.
Ramsey's abstain. Carol Travis. Carol abstain. Andrea Turner. Oops, sorry. Tom Voorhees. Carol Wolfley opposed. Anthony Fest. Sabrina Jacobs. Tim Lynch, no. Richard Walensky. Richard Berlinski abstain. Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer, yes. Okay, we have three yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Marilla abstained. Okay, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 no's. And Steve, I didn't receive the written copy yet. But the motion does not pass. But I need the written copy for the minutes.
This is Bill Campisi, point of personal privilege. Could whoever is scrunching up paper next to a microphone stop? Thank you. That's it. That's the one. Thanks.
Initial warning. Okay, so motion to approve the agenda. Is on the floor.
Bill Campisi, please. I propose that we move up the. I don't have the agenda in front of me, but I think we should move up. First of all, point of order. I don't think a discussion of my lawsuit should be conducted in executive session. It's not your lawsuit. It's my lawsuit. First of all. So I see no reason why the LSB has to discuss my lawsuit in executive session. I think it should be done publicly.
Okay. We did approve the agenda, so you're a little late in. Didn't we? We didn't vote.
My motion is that we discuss my lawsuit in public, and that we then we that we do that right away so that we decide on the status of Susan De Silva and Carol Spooner before we go much farther.
And
okay, after the management report, that's fine.
After the management report and the CAB report? Okay. So, between 8 and 9. Thank you. All those in favor of the agenda as amended a couple of times, please raise your hand.
Aye, says Bill Campisi.
All those opposed?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. This is on the amendment, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, okay.
So did the amendment pass?
The amendment did pass. But all those opposed, I didn't ask that yet, though. I did. This is the amendment to change his. Okay. All those in favor of the often amended agenda, please raise your hand. And all those
I vote yes. Bill Kennedy. Okay.
All those opposed? Abstain? I see one abstention. Are there any on Zoom, Carol? One abstention. The agenda is approved. Now on the minutes, has people have? I beg your pardon. When does it say that? I've got the wrong one. Am I looking at the wrong side? Okay, we'll proceed with the management report, and I did want to. Remind people of our group agreement that we were going to remind people about to be, if there are a lot of emotional issues lately and always actually. So I would ask people that, as my old international president of my union used to say, we can disagree without being disagreeable. So let's try to be respectful and we'll go ahead and proceed with the report.
Good morning, everybody. I'll start the report off with disciplinary action that took place at KPFA on February 23rd, 2018. Before I begin to outline the incident, I want to thank Olga Machado, Pacifica's new Human Resources Director, board members Ahmad Anderson and Christina Huggins for providing their experience, input, and their resolute agreement that this is a personnel matter and should remain confidential. I will outline enough information about what action was taken, why, and provide material that gives details on the history of events leading up to this incident. Again, this is an active police assault and battery case. Litigation is possible, so there must be a cloak of confidentiality around it. Other reasons for the confidentiality is that it's a workman's compensation issue, and also we'll go through the union's grievance process as well. If the information I provide today doesn't satisfy, I suggest that the board wait till the courtroom portion of this process is over before discussing this in openly or in closed session in order to avoid any possibility of being sued. Violence in the workplace is grounds for immediate termination, not only in our employee handbook and Pacifica's policy, it's the law in the state of California. Because this is a public part of the meeting, I won't mention any names, but copies of the letter of termination and staff email notification contain enough information that will be distributed. Again, please note that they are stamped confidential. Thank you. Security at KPFA. Several staff members were feeling on edge after the violent episode to address that and the rumors, and I stress rumors, of possible retaliation. I followed my instincts and job description to maintain a safe, secure working environment and decided to employ an unarmed security guard to ease tensions. After 1 week, we found it unnecessary to continue the use of this service. Winter Fun Drive, February 21st through March 9th. Our goal was $700,000, which was a high mark for us, especially coming off the publicity of the battle between Pacifica and the Empire. So we used that as a theme and talking point during the drive and made our case. We ended the drive on time and a day early because we started a day late because of the President's Day with a total of $610,000. It was another incredible effort from everyone. The chart below that you'll get when I pass these out, the chart below are from Thursday, March 15th, when the total was 622,000 donations still coming in at kpfa.org. I'd like to say that, like I tell the crew, never underestimate the generosity of our listenership. When inspired, they are truly amazing. New hires. I'm pleased to announce two interim positions in our operations department, Brian David as interim chief engineer and Antonio Ortiz as operations manager. Brian's duties and responsibilities include the technical maintenance and upkeep of station equipment, oversight of production department, implementation of new architecture and workflow, as well as development of our new membership management database. We're also happy to welcome back Antonio Ortiz to KPFA. His duties and responsibilities include ensuring KPFA staff technical operation needs are met in a timely and efficient manner for all studio bookings, board operator coordination, and production studio engineer needs. Antonio is working on streamlining our communication process and looks to implement simple and effective ways to ensure confidence. Short bios on both Brian and Antonio are attached. Last but not least is just a couple of upcoming events for KPFA. May 12th, the 2018 Radioactive Resistance Benefit Conference concerts for KPFA and DACA support services. The show, if you haven't heard, stars Arturo O'Farrell and the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra with special guests. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, please do it today online at kpfa.org. We need to sell like 300 tickets by first week of April. But so far, we're doing pretty good. And on April 13th, it's KPFA's birthday membership drive will happen on the air. It's our annual attempt to increase our allies, our sustainers, and regular membership totals. That's it.
Thank you. Before any questions, I'm going to ask our fantastic timekeeper, Sharon, to time the people's statements or questions. And what's the body's inclination? 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes? What do people... 2 minutes? Okay. We agreed 2 minutes? Okay. Could you take them? Nope, that's fine with me. Thank you, Richard. Go ahead. I don't think it's on.
This is about Antonio. He's only been on board a couple of weeks. We've started to receive regular updates from the operations department, which we have never gotten before. He's also set up a system where, in the past, if you reserved studio time, you had to keep checking to see whether it was in on the page. Now he sends an invitation so that you know that is in there immediately. So I want to commend Antonio for the work that he's done thus far. I think it's great. That's all.
Thank you, Richard. Sharon.
I just have a question as to why the fundraising goal was, you know, usually it seems like it's around 600,000, and I was curious why it was 700,000 this time.
Psychological warfare. It fires them up. I mean, they get angry about it. This is too high. We're never going to make it. Yeah, and you just go, no, we're going to make it. Don't worry about it. You know, come on, guys. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, you got to kind of do that.
Carol?
I think it's really exciting about the KPFA birthday Friday the 13th, and it is speaking truth to deceptive power. And one of the things that Quincy was talking about with me is the importance of talking to people about building alliance, you know, getting allies, people who contribute every month, and that will build sustainability. So that's part of the thrust, and one of the things at the birthday party is we're going to have a celebration from 4:30 to 5, and all of you and everyone is invited to come by the station then. And then from 5 to 6, there's going to be a membership organizing party where people who want to work with outreach in areas of social media and outreach will get together and do further planning. So we're really working with the CAB and others to revitalize outreach, and birthday will be a great celebration, and we even had somebody offer to cook some food and get a cake and everything. So come by the station if you can on the 13th of April, 4:30 to 5, and stay for the outreach meeting if you can.
Well, one of the things about the sustainers, it's one of the plans that we're trying to have. The only way without CPB money and any additional foundation money, the only way for us to be more sustainable is to increase our allies. If we can get our numbers up with sustainable members, we'll be able to eliminate the summer drive, which is one of our goals. If we sell out the concert, for instance, in May, the money that we'll get will take a day off the summer drive, which is always the kind of incentives we like to put out there to the audience and to the programmers on the air. They want that one more day off. So, but with the sustainers, I mean, we have a long-range plan of trying to get a lot of sustainers at a higher rate of money that we haven't been able to execute yet. We're just warming our way up to it, because one of these days we're going to come on and really attack that. But it's going to take time. It's going to be a kind of promotion that takes like 6 months to work up to the day of execution, so that we can really pull it off. And we'll have to. It's a marketing sweep that we've been talking about. We don't have all the bodies to execute it now, but we got enough people smart enough to help us start putting the plan together. If we can pull this off one day and we pull off enough sustainers, we can get ourselves down to 2 fund drives a year, just like KALW. And so that would be a tremendous thing for us. So it's something that we have to target. Otherwise, we're never going to make it. We just can't keep going out with fund drive after fund drive after fund drive. No matter how short we make them, how tight we make them, eventually we really have to pull that trigger and get rid of some of them.
Thank you, Quincy. Are there any more questions? Richard? And then Tom.
Yeah, in terms of that, Quincy, does this mean moving away from premiums at some point?
Yeah, we've already started moving away from premiums as much as possible. We've lowered the amount of premiums way down. When I first got here, there were like 400, 500 different kinds of premiums. We're down to about 200, but we're not really using that many at all anymore. We're trying to create our own. You know, the socks and the sweatshirt sold like crazy, the hats sell out, that kind of stuff. So that's good for us, and we know that we can do that. We're also looking for ways to I lost my point. I'm so sorry. I was trying to think of something else. But I'm sorry. But premiums. So yeah. So we've cut back on a lot of premiums, and we're trying to people like Mitch, for instance, went through this entire drive never offering a premium and hit his targets every time. So we've been exploring that and trying it in different shows. Like, you know, go on without a premium. Just talk about the station, you know, because we try to sell the radio station, because that's really it. What people don't understand, the beauty of what KPFA has, this is me talking as a programmer and as a manager. KQED is the big dog. We all know that. But they're getting old, and there's some brand degradation going on there, okay? KLW is a nice radio station that doesn't have a story. KPFA has a hell of a narrative. I mean, we just scratch at it all the time. You know, we're just taking a little bit of it, and it really sells, because the audience believes in what we're about. The history of the radio station, you know, is proof positive about, you know, our value to the community. So we know that. So have this as our ammunition is the one thing that nobody can take away from us, and nobody else can claim. So we want to market that a little bit more. We want to find ways to use that to our advantage in storytelling on the radio to bring the audience along with us.
Thank you. Tom?
Yeah, I hope this is appropriate. I have a external request from Ruth Ann Shipner that would like the station to when public meetings are announced, not only to make it clear that wheelchair access is available, but also to make it clear when it is not available, and include that with meeting announcements.
It is always available, I'm being told by our secretary. Wheelchair access, it has to be.
Yes, but Ruth Ann would like, when it's not available, and an announcement to have it, that mentioned
it,
also.
Okay, if that did happen, we would mention that, but we cannot, it's always available, so it's kind of a moot point. But
we don't use venues where it's not available, where most of the things that we, you know.
Well, it also applies to community meetings that may not be connected directly to the radio station, is her interest.
Okay. If that did happen, we would make sure we mentioned it, if that takes care of it. But I'm being told that we always make sure there is wheelchair access, even at community meetings. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, first I wanted to say that I heard some, there's a lot of good programs, but one was Hard Knock Radio did some live programming on the rally in Oakland against the murder. I think that was very important, live programming, which I think we need to have more of. The other thing is there are a couple of events this year. May Day, I proposed at the last meeting that we have a day of programming on May Day and sent a letter to Livingston, the executive director, and he said that he was in support of that idea. So maybe you can update it. He said he would get back in touch with you. And also, this is the 50th anniversary of the San Francisco State strike with Danny Glover and others. And we might be able to have some programming around that strike that would be very valuable, because a lot of our listeners were involved in those struggles. So that's something to consider. The last point is I've contacted KPFT Houston, and I discovered that they have digitalized their signals. They have two additional channels. One they use for the station for additional programming, and also the other they get funding for. They lease it out to a school. So there's actually a possibility of funding from digitalization of our transmitters. So I think that that's something that we need to consider as possibly even a fundraising thing.
Yeah, that funding came from the government when they were pushing digital radio networks and channels like that. But nobody really bit, and the digital thing kind of faded away, and nobody's really using that. But so that funding's kind of gone away with it. As far as live programming is concerned, like with Hard Knock, that's one of the things that we're trying to do with them is get them out on the street more. And I think with the engineering changes, we'll be able to modernize the situation so we can get people out on the street and do a lot more live programming from different situations where we've already talked to lots of different venues. Kevin Cartwright, one of the things that he's been doing since we altered his job description around a little bit, has been meeting with a lot of different partners that we would want to partner with. And so we're trying to plan to do shows in partnership with people like the Ella Baker Center, for instance, and our old friends of Youth Radio and people like that, where we can partner with organizations that are doing things in the community that are where our missions overlap quite a bit. Tom Livingston did bring your thing up at the last GM meeting, but because of the march that's happening next week on the 24th, it got kind of tabled, and so it's on the table, and all the programmers and all the GMs heard your pitch from Tom, so nothing's happened with it yet. So, you know, there's still time, so we'll see what happens with that. So I'll let you know if anything happens with that, or you'll hear from Tom. He's one of those kind of people that do report back.
Thank you, Carol.
This is really just something to note. KPFT actually has, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they have done more than, they've sold advertising. There have been things that they do that crosses something that we would consider a line. And they've done it carefully. I mean, they did it, I think, they were going to do it with a grocery store that was a co-op in the neighborhood that had relationships with the people. So, but they crossed a line that I think a lot of us would worry about. So when we go for selling space, or, you know, I don't know if that's a line or not, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't, probably not, but blah.
Thank you.
They do a little bit of underwriting at KW's starting to do some too. It's still up in the air how the PMB feels about that. I think they gave them some opportunities to go ahead and do some things like that. We haven't done anything at KPFA. I've thought about underwriting on the website in places where there's no way that anything can be interfered with. For instance, I would only let a sponsor like does what the others doesn't do, and they could sponsor the archives, because the archives are shows that have already played, and there's no way that you can say that they had any influence on what happened to those shows. But we're a long way from getting there to ourselves anyway. But there is that conversation going on, because Pacifica is in need of such money that they, who knows? I mean, they may have to alter how they play the game out there. I don't know.
Thank you. Anthony?
This is Bill Campisi. I'd like to be on the stack, please.
Oh, okay. You'll be next, Bill, after Anthony.
It was partly planned and partly a bizarre surprise, anyway, the upshot is, in a very short space of time, a lot of engineering knowledge has gone out the door. So I'm wondering if is there some plan for at least for Michael Yoshida to transfer to the new crew, the way the building is set up and what have you, so they don't have to fumble around and rediscover what they could have found out just by talking and looking at diagrams.
Well, they got the historical knowledge out of Michael for the 3 weeks that he hung around. So they got what they needed from him, basically. We also brought in, I had two other consultants come in, Tim Pozar and our friend Rich Withers up in Fresno. And they came down, consulted, and looked around and put it all together for us. We feel real confident in these two guys. These guys are real talented. They're 21st century thinkers, and I think that's really going to help us, because we really need to get there. It could save us a lot in time and efficiency and make it easier for programmers when they come in to do your job. All the computers work, and you're not running around trying to find something, it's easier for you on the air. We'll find better ways to make things faster and to make the radio station sound better. That's what it's all about.
Thank you. Bill?
No, I had a couple more questions, but I can wait till those who haven't had questions.
You have a minute still.
Okay.
You could come to my office.
Very, very quick question. People have kicked around the issue of how many subscribers we have. The last I heard, it was about 16,800, slightly under 17,000. Is that accurate?
I don't know what the latest number is. We did during this last two drives, we've seen some very suspicious data where, I hate talking about my secret stuff, but we had a group of people that came through with these $1,000 donations, mostly out of South Bay. I don't really know who they all are. I've only made contact with a few of them. I've written them all. But there's some sort of – there's something going on that we don't know about. We're trying to put our finger on it. So Chris Stelic is doing that kind of research for me right now, because we want to have a definite number before we have the promotion on April 13th. But your numbers are close. But we did get an influx, and so I don't have a serious number. I don't have a complete number, but I will have one by the next board meeting. When is that anyway? It's the 17th or April? April 21st. Okay, so there's also going to be a staff meeting on Thursday. It's either April 19th or the 29th. But so by that time, I'll have that answer for you.
Thank you. We had actually Bill Campisi was next. Bill?
Yeah, this is Bill Campisi. I didn't quite catch the subject matter. Were you talking about our current membership, or were you talking about something else when Andrew asked you about, Anthony Fest asked you about that number, and you came up with 16,000 and something?
He's talking members.
Membership?
He's talking members. He's not talking sustaining members. He's talking members.
Okay, and so, Quincy, do we not know exactly what our membership is on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis because of our computer system?
No. We just don't tally it like that every day, and all the way around like that every week. It's especially
the reason
this
is of a concern to me is someone recently said, "Oh, our membership has dropped to 13,000."
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't understand that. I don't know where that came from. The thing is, no, we don't do it on a daily basis. When we get the new database that we're trying to employ, we're almost done with that. We can have reports at a moment's notice. With Memphis, the system that we have now, the old antiquated Memphis system that we're trying to get rid of, it's harder to do reports like that, so we don't force Chris to do that kind of stuff. So we wait until around Fund Drive and after Fund Drive to kind of generate new numbers to see where we are.
Okay. But well, that was a question. Yeah, thank you.
With the new system, which we're hoping we can employ for the next drive, everything should be in place. We've got to do some testing first because we just don't want to put it out there. So we'll do like a fake run and have people call in and do the whole thing as if it's really happening. And then if that all goes, we should be good. And that way, anybody in management or can just look up on their laptop or their computer at any time and see what's going on all the time. Right now you can do that with the website where you can see how much money is, donated daily. Everything is there for that. You can track that easily, but with people joining as new members, no, it's harder to track through the old system.
Thank you. We had Tom was next.
Yes, I met Brian yesterday, our new interim chief engineer, I believe it is. Okay. We had a conversation about the technical state of the station itself, and we did agree on one thing, and that's that a signal flow one-line diagram of all the equipment in the station should be generated, either with Michael's assistance or the gentleman from KFCF or myself. Doesn't really matter who puts it together, but this would take care of the situation. If there's any more technical turnover in people, anybody could walk in and figure out what a problem is and expedite getting it back on the air or whatever the problem is.
I agree with you 100%.
And we had Richard and then Steve and then Anthony.
You may not know any of the answer to this. Do we have any idea how large our listenership is? Absolutely not. Also, what kind of listenership do we have online? Do we have any stats of that?
Yeah, we have daily stats of the online stuff. We can see people coming to the radio station and people leaving. It gives us kind of a good arc on what works and what doesn't work.
Well, we have a stat. Steve was next, actually.
We didn't make the full amount that we were going for. Is that going to have any impact on what's happening financially?
No, we made it. The real amount was 610, and Thursday we were at 622, and I guess by the end of the weekend, going into Monday, we should probably be somewhere around 635 or something like that.
The second thing is on the issue of the digital channels. What is happening in Texas is they have two additional digital channels. One they use for the station, so you could have live programming, you could do other kind of things like that. The other is leased out. to a college. They raised some money from that. So maybe we can find out how much money could be raised possibly if we lease out one of the channels. If we get two additional channels, lease out one, then it's, you know, basically a subsidy of KPFA. That's the idea.
And then we have Anthony.
Yeah, and anything new on the contract front?
No.
The CWA contract. I guess they simply want to continue with the current contract.
Carol?
Quincy, I understood that sometimes there's a possibility to look at, like, stats.pacifica.org and then kind of multiply it up to think about what that the online may also reflect on the listenership on the radio, and there may be some mathematical formula for that, and I wondered how
fake you news
that what
fake news
popular expression. Tim.
Last time you mentioned that the ISDN line was going to be canceled. Have we begun realizing savings on that?
Yeah, we're canceling the last ISDN line this coming week. And so we'll be saving a whole bunch of money. Even though AT&T, and last minute, they tried to, they wanted to try to keep us on, of course, so they can keep ripping us off. But they wanted to lower the $4,000 monthly charge down to $1,100. But we don't need it. So we don't need it, so we're going to cancel. They set that in on Friday. It was one of the last-ditch efforts by them. But
tells you they know they're overcharging.
And as a follow-up, are we on fiber optic now?
That's what we're going to switch over to. Yeah.
Are there any other questions? Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear that once we get rid of the ISDN, we will not be able to get it back, in that nobody is offering new ISDN lines any longer.
Thank you, Tom. It's antiquated. Is there anyone else has a question? Thank you very much, Quincy. And we move on to approve the February minutes. Have people had an opportunity to review the minutes? Oh, Carol?
Move to accept the minutes with the necessary corrections.
Do I have a second? Any discussion?
Just,
Anthony?
Just a comment for future reference. I hope in the coming months we'll again, go back to the practice of having minutes with some time to read them, say a week or a few days in advance of the meeting itself.
They were sent out through email. Did you not get the email with an opportunity to review?
Doesn't sound
several days
familiar.
Ago.
Not for this month. I don't recall seeing that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Anthony. Any other discussion? Thank you. Okay. Sharon.
I mean, I think Steve had made the point before. I don't know if you want to make it now, that you had said you wanted to amend the minutes because I guess number 17 should have been old business instead of new business. So you want to amend the minutes that way. So we want to approve the minutes as minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
That
yes.
was an amendment. That was a proposal
okay.
to amend the
yes.
minutes.
So, okay. Just so, making sure that got... put in.
I think we're all, if we're all in agreement, we can just go ahead and do
it.
Right. Okay. So, all those who approve the minutes as amended, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Abstentions? That's all right. Thank you. Okay. Just holding up the abstention crowd. Thank you. The motion passes. Minutes are approved. Announcements? Sharon?
Maybe the CAB is going to talk about their KPFA outreach planning meeting, but I just wanted to say that I heard a great promo for it on the air, and it just was really positive and uplifting to hear it, and so I just want to say thank you, Quincy, and everybody that, I'm not sure who did that, but it was sounded great.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, this month is the 7th anniversary of the Fukushima disaster, and the No Nukes Action Committee, which I'm part of, is having a documentary screening in Berkeley of nuclear cattle about what happened to the cattle in Fukushima. A farmer decided he wasn't going to let his cattle die, and so he stayed with the cattle to feed them and that kind of thing, and to also document what was going on. So anyway, it's going to be at the Berkeley Central Library Community Room, third floor, 2090 Kitteridge Street in Berkeley on March the 25th at, from 1:30 to 4.
Thank you. That sounds great. Go ahead, Carol.
I wanted to let any of you know who didn't know that Marilla has lost her dear son, Max, and I want to thank you for coming today, Marilla, and on behalf of the local station board, I want to extend our condolences and our thoughts and warm wishes for you at this time, and in appreciation for all your caring. Thank you.
I don't know if it's so much in the form of an announcement, but I did want, there's a lot of people that do volunteer work behind the lines, and I wanted to thank both Tom and Carol Wolfley for being at KPFA lately, trying to help with the ongoing water issues. And I really appreciate those. Those are the kind of things that really matter to help the station, and both of you have been, both Tom and Carol have been a lot of help in helping keep things going under difficult conditions. So thank you, Tom.
I mean, Bill should be thanked also. He was also involved in the water infiltration issue, although it was early on, but his input is also appreciated.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that. Thank you, Bill. And Maria, apparently, too. So all those folks, that's important work that keeps our station going. So thank you to all of you. And did you have a message? Okay, then moving right along. Are there any other announcements? Or is it public comments? Okay, and now we'll move to public comments then. Yeah, right, but she's public comments right now. Do we have any public comments? And then we'll move to the CAB report. Okay.
CAB report. I want to be able to see all your faces. I'm Mary Ann Thomas with the CAB, and I'm supposed to be coming every month and making a report. It's been kind of a hard couple months, so I'm here. We are very excited. Our next CAB meeting, which is a week from today, at the Grassroots House, is going to be having a working session where we're going to brainstorm and try and help with outreach for KPFA. We do the CNA every year, and we're going to continue to do that, but after we get done with the CNA, we have time to focus on other things, and so we really want to help with the promotion of the station. And to do that, working with Carol, we are focusing toward outreach, and we're going to use some of the results of the CNA to do some of that outreach. So if anyone can come next Saturday, if you have any ideas on how to contribute to the outreach that we might, as the CAB, do, or we might help the outreach committee do.
Could you tell everyone what CNA is? And that some people may not know.
Anybody know what CNA is? Community Needs Assessment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we do a community needs assessment every year, which is, you know, we use SurveyMonkey this year, and it worked really well, whereby we ask our listener audience to respond. We had a request on the radio that they fill it out. We're going to do it again this coming year. We're going to end in September, so we have to count back. We'll have it 3 months before we'll have people able to go online and give their opinions about what they think, how to improve KPFA. So we'll do that again. But in addition to that, we want to do more outreach as a group and working with the community to improve KPFA, because KPFA, that, I mean, we're volunteering because KPFA is near and dear to our hearts, so... that's basically it. We're working on that, and that's our main focus. So thank you for being here and going through these monthly meetings, which must be really fun. and I will leave you quickly because I have an appointment. Thank you.
Thank you for all the work that you did. And Carol Wolfley wanted to add something. We do appreciate the CAB and all the volunteer work you guys do.
Yeah, a number of people were concerned about us trying to have this meeting on the 24th, and what we're thinking is people may go to the San Francisco event after the CAB meeting if they're wanting to. And we're rewriting the and updating the program guide. We're working on new literature. Perrine Kelly, who's worked with outreach for many years, has stepped back. And so we're really needing to bring in new people, and especially people who are interested in social media and graphic design. So if you know anybody who is interested in social media or graphic design or editing, and for those of you who are programmers, we, you know, want to work with you on promoting your shows. Thanks.
Thank you. And thanks again. Okay, moving right along. We're on the issue of KPFA LSB filling of vacancies. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to put that in here. Sorry. Okay, Bill Campisi. Yes, Steve.
I just turned my mic on you. Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion, if it's seconded, that the KPFA local station board abide by the judgment of the court decision. Second.
Please write it up. Please write it up and give it to the secretary. Any discussion?
Yeah, this is Bill Campisi. Put me on the stack, please.
Okay. So go. Tim first raised his hand. Bill and then Carol. Carol T. Procedure. Carol T. Go ahead.
I'd like a report from Bill, so I don't want Bill to be limited to 90 seconds or whatever we get. 2 minutes.
He should start. Because we need the information.
Yeah, but he's on the motion, and it's information because it's related to the lawsuit, and he's a member of the LSB. So that's it.
We are on his report, so let's go through his report first, and then we will decide about the motion. So go ahead, Bill Campisi.
Okay. So I have filed a notice of appeal of the trial court's order. I did send out the notice to everybody. I don't know if you all received it. So the effect of an appeal is to stay a decision of any trial court, not just in this case. And so there's been a discussion about the effect of the stay. But before I even discuss that, the LSB was not really a party to this lawsuit. Pacifica could have made the KPFA Delegate Assembly a party. It didn't. So in a way, one could argue. I'm not saying that you should adopt this argument, but one could argue that.
Hold on, Bill.
Could you get everything sort of settled down so that people are paying attention and not all this distraction in the room?
And I'd appreciate it if you'd start again. Okay.
Well, there's a lot of people who are not paying attention.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, the LSB could take the position that since it's not a party to the lawsuit, the order is the LSB is not under any kind of court order. I'm not recommending the LSB take that position, but that would be a position that a lawyer who represented you could offer you to take. You know, and it's up for grabs. In any case, beyond that, the order itself is stayed by the appeal I took. And, you know, Carol Spooner knows a great deal more about this than I do. She helped to write the bylaws, and she can explain to you better than I can, actually, what the issues are. But fundamentally, the issue presented was, do the members, through the delegates, elect directors, or do the directors choose who they want to be a director? And I advocated the former position, and the motion takes the latter position. But that fundamental issue is decided by the trial court. That decision is stayed. So what's the effect of that? What's the effect of the stay on what the court ordered? Well, the basic principle there is, if you have to do something to comply with the order, your obligation to do something is stayed. You don't have to do it. On the other hand, if there's a future anticipated action that you're prohibited from taking by the order, then you can't do that. So we already elected Susan, and we already elected Carol Spooner as delegates. We would have to undo that election if we followed the court's order. So under my view of things, the LSB doesn't have to do that. You don't have to take an affirmative action. That's what the stay does. It allows you not to take any action that you would have to take to comply with the order. Similarly, the order directs the LSB to use the list, whatever list it is, whoever knows, since it wasn't specified in the board's motion, to appoint delegate vacancies as opposed to electing delegates. Fort Greene agrees with me on this, because Fort Greene wrote a letter at the request of Janet Coburn about this subject. And that's also an affirmative act required by the order. So you don't have, I believe the LSB doesn't have to follow the order, because the effect of the order is stayed insofar as it requires you to take certain kinds of actions. Fort Greene, I don't know if any of you saw his letter, and if you want to ask me about it, I'll talk to you about it. Otherwise, I'm not going to address that at the moment. But suffice it to say, from my perspective, the delegates who have been elected should remain on the board, and any delegate vacancies that have to be filled may be filled using Article 4, Section 10. We don't have to follow the court's rubric. And also, the court used funny language, as was pointed out again by Fort Greene, that the court said they have to consult the list. And that in this context, that's meaningless. First of all, the list isn't specified, and what consult means isn't specified. And so the LSB, in my view, would be perfectly within its rights to just continue on as it has been doing. And if there's any question that needs to be resolved beyond that, Pacifica can raise that, and they can either raise that in the Court of Appeal, or they could attempt to raise it in the trial court. Although once you file a notice of appeal, that takes jurisdiction out of the hands of the trial court. And not to complicate this too much, but Susan Brown, who was also involved in this litigation, she won in the trial court. Pacifica went back to the trial court and tried to get the trial court Susan Brown went back to the trial court and tried to get the trial court to make
Sharon,
Pacifica
thank you.
On the board.
Sharon Brown.
And the judge said, no, I can't do that. And I think she said she couldn't do that because that would be making Pacifica remove Mansour, essentially undo what it had done, which was to have, they remove Susan, they put Mansour on the board, and the trial courts, and even though Susan Brown won in the trial court said, I can't make Pacifica undo what it did because my order is stayed while it's on appeal. So I'm sorry, Susan Brown,
okay.
I can't make Pacifica put you on the board. I think that parallels the situation here.
Okay.
And so my recommendation is someone goes to court and we get another ruling on it, the LSB should just behave as it has behaved.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. We have a stack here. Carol T. was the first one who raised her hand right after Bill started. We have all these Carols. No, we're still in discussion of his report. We're not on the motion right now.
But the motion came up first. I made the motion.
No, his report was first on the agenda. I'm ruling that we're going up with the discussion first, and then we'll rule on the motion. Go ahead, Carol.
I have two positions on this matter, which are contradictory. One is on the legal case, because I think that the case that Bill Campisi filed is very important and is correct, and that on appeal I expect that it will be overturned. I'm glad he appealed it, because the issue is whether or not the LSB delegates, not the LSB, the delegates who represent the members when they are acting to elect people to the national board have a right to do that, and that the directors are chosen by the local delegates and they are elected by the local delegates. They are not appointed by the national board. So legally, and I think that also the changing of a list from a certified list to a list that is been added that includes anybody who wrote their name once on a write-in list is an absurd way to choose representatives of the members to serve on anybody. So legally, I think that this is very important and that we should, in that sense, ignore what the court has done, given the fact that there has been an appeal. I think that gives us a right to ignore it. But I think there's a political issue, and that's the politics of what's going on the board and the politics here and the animosity and that sort of thing. And Carol Spooner had put forth the idea that we don't fill any seats until this is settled. And I lean to that so that we're not having a what I have called in my lifetime a pissing match on the PNB on a subject of our elections and our functioning at a time that we have. I heard you.
she's doing her good.
You did three times. I heard you.
She does it well. Yes. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I'm trying to finish the sentence as you would demand if you were talking, okay? And that at a time when we have very important, pivotal survival issues on the PNB and not to take it up with our elections.
Thank you, Carol. Tom? Tom was next.
Yes. it's unclear to me that Bill's appeal is going to be accepted automatically. And evidently there's some contention about that. It may not be accepted automatically, and I'd like to know if Bill has had any confirmation that it is accepted automatically. And then the other thing is I have not seen the text of the appeal. Has that been submitted at this point?
Yes.
The notice has, but not the appeal itself.
But it is not a, just a clarification. It's not a legal action taken by the board. It is a legal action taken by Mr. Campisi.
If he wants me to answer those questions, I can answer them.
Go ahead, answer the question.
Okay.
Bill?
Everybody has a legal right to appeal a trial court decision in the state of California. So when you file a notice of appeal, you have a right to have a decision reviewed by the court of appeal automatically because you filed the notice of appeal unless the notice is defective. That's number one. Then after you file your notice of appeal, you then designate a record on appeal, which I also have done. And you can check on this by going to the Alameda County Court domain website called Domain Web. Just put Alameda County Domain Web. It will take you to the registers of action, the list of cases. You should have my case number. Send out emails. You can look it up under the case number, and you can see what I've done. It's all there online. So I filed a notice of designation on appeal, which basically means to type up the hearing transcript for the March 6th hearing and to copy all of the pleadings that have been filed by everybody in the case, number them, and send them off to the Court of Appeal. Once the Court of Appeal gets the record on appeal, which will take 2 or 3 months, then I will get notice from the Court of Appeal that I have about 45 days to file my appellate brief. I'm going to be working on my appellate brief before I get that notice, hopefully. I would like to do that. And then I file my appellate brief, and then Pacifica can file an opposition, and then I can file a reply, and then several months later we get notice that there will be a hearing before the Court of Appeal, and then there will be a decision.
Okay.
But that entire process is automatic. If you file a proper notice of appeal.
Okay. Thank you for it. So it's in process. Thank you very much, Bill.
Once I file the notice of appeal,
That's enough. That's enough, Bill. I think we got the essence of what you're saying is it's in process.
Okay.
Appeal is in process, guys. And wait, Carol Spooner, you were next? I've already got you on the list here.
The salient question is who's going to win? Right? That's what people want to know. And the trial court level, there was a decision made. There's an appeal which stays implementation of the appeal. Pacifica can challenge the stay. They can, and they can do that in the trial court like they did in the Sharon Brown case. Then the trial court judge would decide whether or not her decision was mandatory or prohibitory. That's what happened in the other case. It will probably happen in this case. Unless and until Pacifica's lawyer goes into the trial court and says, I'm challenging the stay, which they do by asking for a certain order, the order is stayed.
Thank you, Carol. And we had Carol W. All these Carols.
Bill, if you could answer this very briefly, can you tell me... It's my understanding that Forrest Green, in his statement, wrote something about that there were supposed to be on-air announcements. Can you verify if that's true? There are supposed to be some kind of on-air announcements. That didn't make sense to me. It indicated to me that maybe the judge was confused.
Bill, did you want to answer that?
Is that addressed to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
To you, Bill.
I read Ford Green's letter fairly quickly. I didn't see anything about anything to do with on-air announcements, but that has nothing to do with the legal proceedings whatsoever.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're talking
about some internal KPFA matter, but that doesn't affect the court in any way.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. I also wanted to say that there's a lot of confusion about different issues related to which list they're talking about. I feel that we don't have an understanding of it, like things like the membership timelines on that list, fair campaign provisions, statements, people who were on the air at that time, fair campaign provision statement signatures, and the process for notifying people. So normally during an election we have a NES and a local election supervisor, national election supervisor. We have, LSPs have election committees. So some of there, I want to say that right now there is a lot of missing information. Also, I know that I would like permission to ask Janet Coburn a brief statement because she's here as the PMB secretary. Janet, I noticed that for 2016, when I look, when you were secretary on the PMB, over 15 of the minutes were missing. And I wonder if you could let us know, because there may be minutes in that year when you were secretary when there's no agendas or minutes for meetings that were related to these elections processes. If you could tell us what happened with the minutes and are they available at this time? No comment.
So you're refusing to answer the question? That no comment is not acceptable because you're the secretary of well, she either answers or doesn't. So she is. I take it. Do not crosstalk. You don't speak out. I am the chair of this meeting. You will not speak out during the meeting. We will have order in this meeting. Thank you. I'll get you later. Okay. We had Sharon next.
Okay, I can't help it. The lawyer brain does kick in, and it really does bug me because we were not a party to the lawsuit. We are not bound by that court order, period. That court order has no applicability to us at all. Now, I understand the political. You can laugh. We're not a party. We were not a party to that lawsuit. We, you know, that's just like, okay, she can tell the PMB what to do. She can tell Bill Campese what to do. We were not a party to the lawsuit. That order has no effect on us. I understand Carol's point about the political dynamic. I get it completely. However, I don't think anything we do is going to change that because I've listened to the PMB and it's against Berkeley a lot. You know, that's just the status quo. I personally think that when I saw the minutes that were approved for February, where the delegate assembly, Carol Spooner, was appointed to fill a vacancy, and Susan DeSilva was elected as chair, that shows what the status quo, and this court order is actually asking us to change that. So I agree with Bill's position that it's asking us to do something. It's mandatory. If you were to take the position that the court order does actually apply to us, then I would think that it's stayed because it's asking us to do something. Just want to reiterate what Bill said. All appeals are taken up. The only kind of appeals that are not taken up are like to the Supreme Court of the United States. They sometimes do refuse to hear things. But within the state of California, if you appeal, it goes to appeal. And then the notice is filed, and then time passes, and then you file your actual documents. That's all. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. Actually, I had put myself on the stack, and I wanted to completely agree with what Sharon just said. I think erring on the side of caution, what I would advise is just to allow participation for now. But what we started out the meeting with saying is that we would not have either of the seats vote at this meeting, so to avoid any contention in the future with Susan and Carol. But I believe that we acted completely legally in appointing them and by the bylaws, and that will be... The other thing is we aren't a party to the lawsuit, And finally, one quick thing about the voting. I want to make sure it's really clear to people. The whole reason that we are, if there's over and over again talk about using the list of people that are left over. And just to heap on what other people have said, that could we, those are not certified. We don't know if it's one person who just wrote their name. We don't know if they followed the election processes that are described in the bylaws. And that is the problem. That's why we were appointing. We weren't appointing because we were just being willy-nilly appointing. We were appointing very specifically because we were following the bylaws. Thank you. And Steve was next.
Yeah, well, we are actually discussing the motion, which is interesting. First of all, the court nullified the appointment of Susan or the election of Susan to this board. That's what the court did. And the idea that this has nothing to do with KPFA, I think people should check about what's happening in the PNB. We're losing. I lost my position, which I was elected to, because of our action here. And frankly, I think it's rather unprofessional and dangerous to say that we're not affected by it. Who in the hell is paying for the lawyer of Pacifica? Who's paying for it? We are paying for it. That's who's paying for the lawyer. It's coming out of Pacifica.
Could you please
and coming out of KPFA.
Take it down
and
a little,
I would,
please.
I would say this. Maybe the PNB might say they're going to start taking out of KPFA's bank account if we don't comply with their decision. We have a resident lawyer
could
here.
Could you not yell, Steve,
yeah,
please?
Okay, we have a resident lawyer here on our board. We have two resident lawyers who are giving their legal opinion. I don't want to pay for resident lawyers. And frankly, I don't want us paying for the advice of a lawyer who told us.
Yelling.
Yeah, no, I'm not yelling. I don't want to pay for a lawyer. I don't want to pay for a lawyer, a resident lawyer, who's telling us what we should do when we, Pacifica and KPFA, are going to be paying for this. If we want to raise money to pay for this resident lawyer, that's another question. But right now it's coming out of Pacifica and KPFA's pocket. And basically he wants to prove his legal points, as some of you do. I mean, you want to prove your legal points, that's fine. But you don't do it at the cost of KPFA and Pacifica. What you're doing, you're saying we have to pay the cost of proving our resident lawyer's legal opinions. And I think that, frankly, we're putting KPFA in jeopardy. That's what you're doing by continuing to ignore the judgment of the court. And, yes, you can appeal for years. Who's going to pay for it?
Time. A point of information to reiterate, we are not a party to the lawsuit. Thank you. I think it's Anthony was next.
Yeah, no, obviously I can't give legal advice, but some of this is really puzzling me. We're talking about, or some people are talking about the delegates assembly like it's some kind of party unto itself, like it's not connected to the Pacifica Foundation. Well, of course it is. You know, KPFA is part of the Pacifica Foundation. The LSB is a committee of the PNB, as said in the bylaws. Delegates Assembly is another entity. So, I think if somebody, again, my unprofessional opinion, if someone went before a court and said, I'm representing the KPFA Delegates Assembly as a party, as opposed to the PNB, which is the real governance of the foundation and the body with the fiduciary responsibility for the foundation, I don't know, but I think you'd probably get thrown out of court. Let's not talk about the PN, the Delegates Assembly or the LSB, as if they somehow stand by themselves, because they don't. And, you know, the motion may well be, trial court opinion may well be stayed, but the PNB motion is not stayed, so I think we ought to abide by that motion. And as to the list, it's kind of disingenuous to say, well, we thought there'd be problems, so we went to appointing people. Well, you never attempted to follow through with the list, and we know the list. It was prepared by Terry Goodman under the direction of the PNB, so you know the court could be apprised of that if necessary. But it's not like it's a mystery out there somewhere where this list is. If we go follow the list as we should, there will be some work to be done, of course, to see who is still current, but that should be done, not dodged.
Thank you. Chris?
I had kind of an isolated question about what qualifies somebody to sit on the board. I remember when I ran, I had to sign a statement. I had to get some people to support me. Are the people that are left on this uncertified list, have they gone through those motions in order to qualify? Or is not it actually not a qualification? Is it just a formality or something?
I believe it is a qualification. I will let Carol answer that.
Yeah, I think these are questions, and that's why I'm saying it's hard to just jump in and expect two officers to serve as an election committee and a national election supervisor and to answer questions about. Now, I don't know who signed what. I don't have access to the paperwork that the national election supervisor had, that the local election supervisor had. So it's impossible for me at this point.
I'm asking whether it's a requirement, not whether they did it.
This is Bill Campisi.
That's a legal question.
I'll go ahead and I'll let Carol Spooner answer that.
Our bylaws require, in order to be eligible to be a delegate, that you have 15 nominating signatures and that you fill out certain paperwork. The list of alternates that we were provided after the election did not include the write-in candidates. However, later, the board PNB asked for a list of the write-in candidates, and that's the list we're asked. We've run out of everybody who complied with those things, and now we're down to the write-ins who did not comply with those things.
Okay, so my question still stands. The write-in candidates are not subject to these provisions of the bylaws?
That they should be. The court did not understand that issue. Bill's got it up on appeal.
Can I put something in on this subject since I know something about it?
No, let's go on the stack first, Sabrina.
Okay, on the stack.
No, Chris. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Chris.
It wasn't a question, actually. I had a comment about the PNB dynamic. I actually am going to take exception with Sharon's statement earlier. I've found the dynamic to be not that bad on the PNB currently. I feel like I'm being treated fairly. I feel like I'm being listened to. I don't feel like I'm being excluded. I feel like those that are representing KPFA are being heard. I don't feel like KPFA is being singled out in a way that I can detect. I mean, maybe I'm just completely insensitive and oblivious to these things, but I don't feel like the board as it currently stands now, in the very short time that I've been a member of it, has the dynamic that is being suggested. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Sabrina?
I had a question of Carol Wolfley. Madam Secretary, in regards to the PNB 2016 PNB minutes that are missing, how does that relate to what we're dealing with now? And what is the, how important is it that we get those minutes from former Secretary, PNB Secretary Coburn?
Yeah, she asked me, right? Sabrina, you asked me? Yeah. So the reason I raised that is as I began researching to understand what happened and what were any Pacific and National Board decisions or recommendations regarding the write-ins that were happening during 2016, there may be minutes there that have information that would give us direction in relation to some of this. There is a dearth of, there's a lot of missing information that we don't have at the local level to be able to move on these things. So access to those minutes would be very helpful. Thank you.
Madam Chair, my next question is to you. Is there any way that we can implore, compel, whatever,
former Secretary Coburn to turn over those 2016 minutes, given the situation that we're dealing with now, this lawsuit, the unnecessary drain on Pacifica as far as paying for legal counsel, all that?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I will find out. I have an employment access to an employment attorney that I can check in with on that question. Thank you.
Would it apply with those employment regulations apply to someone who's on the board?
It's a law firm, so I have actually access to other attorneys. I'll try to find the question, the answer to your question.
Thank you.
Okay. And we had Susan was next. Okay, go ahead. Susan was, and then after Susan was Carol. Carol was just answering. Go ahead, Carol.
I think that Carol Travis's political point is important. Steve's not being seated on the audit committee.
Nor am I.
And nor are you, because the PNB views the election to the committees as invalid because Susan and I were here and voting. It's not good for our station to not have our members on the national committees. They've also taken the position that they wouldn't put me on the National Finance Committee, although I handed out something, and I'm sure they'll change their minds when reminded that the bylaws specifically state that the treasurer, LSB treasurer, does not need to be a delegate. You all remember Barbara Wipperman. For years, she wasn't a delegate. This is normal in Pacifica. So I don't think that's a problem. But I think in order to kind of meet people halfway, while the appeal is pending, it would be good to redo those elections. Why not? What skin off our nose is it? You know? The elections of the committee members. And I really think that, the statement that the LSB is not a party is an interesting one. The case came in under an elections challenge statute, which gives the court jurisdiction over anything to do with the election, period. So I think the delegates and who elected people are under the jurisdiction of the court. But there's an appeal. And, there was one other point I wanted to make.
Okay, Aki hasn't spoken yet, so I'm going to go let Aki speak next.
Yeah, I just want to address this whole issue of this write-in list that everybody's talking about. The write-in, I don't know, that the motion that the PNB passed, you know, sort of mandating that we use the write-in list also provided that they didn't say to just use the write-in list. It says, provided that anyone not so identified must be eligible. So there's a qualifier there. Also, Terry Goodman's report, when he did his write-up, runner-up list, also said that eligibility of the write-in candidates cannot be confirmed. So there is all these unknowns. So they all, both the PNB and Terry Goodman, will acknowledge that you have to verify that they're eligible. Now, you go to the write-in list, we already know that the write-in list, only one with two votes is, you know, Michael Parenti, everybody else is single vote. Now, the eligibility stuff that Carol Spooner brought up about who is eligible, you have to meet, you know, the section A and B of the eligibility list. But they also, furthermore, all the candidates have to have signed the fair campaign provision. So you have to verify that all those write-in candidates signed that. So it's easy enough for us to go through that write-in list, find out who did that, and we can resolve that right away.
Still going? That's okay. Yeah, I do.
Christina, am I on the stack? This is Bill Campisi.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack. Yeah, I've got you here, Steve.
I just wanted to read the bylaws that I think are critical real fast. What was that? Okay. Okay. Are you going to start now? Okay. Okay. All right. Article 5, Section 1D of the bylaws says this is general power and authority. Subject to the provisions of the California Nonprofit Benefit Corporation Law and any limitations in the Articles of Incorporation and these bylaws, again, any limitations in the Articles of Incorporation and these bylaws relating to action required or permitted to be taken or approved by the members or the delegates of the foundation, the activities and the affairs of the foundation shall be conducted, and all corporate powers shall be executed by or under the direction of the board. That's speaking of the PNB, the national board. And you will notice it says limited by the California things and by any limitations in the Articles of Incorporation and these bylaws relating to action required or permitted to be taken or approved by the members or the delegates. So anything that's in the bylaws that is supposed to be done by the members or the delegates has authority separate and not under the jurisdiction of the PNB. Article 4, Section 10, which says how you fill vacancies. If a delegate position becomes vacant midterm, the delegate should be replaced for the remainder of his or her term by the highest-ranked candidate from the last election of delegates for that class of members for that station who was not elected and who is available and continues to meet the delegate eligibility requirements as set forth in 2A and 2B, which people have just discussed. This article, in the event that no eligible an available candidate from the last election is found, then the delegate for that radio station shall appoint a member of the appropriate class to serve as delegate to fill the seat.
Carol, no, I just called time.
I couldn't finish.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
I think that people have a copy of the bylaws, and I would strongly suggest they read over that verbiage that she is quoting right there. I know I have lately, several times. So read it over, and it's very clear and specific. I think Steve was next.
No, I mean, it is amazing to me that we're spending all this time about candidates or possible eligible candidates when we could just ask these people if they're even interested in being on the board. We haven't done that. We haven't even gone to these people and said, are you interested? Many of these people probably aren't even interested. Then we could have an election. But what we're talking about now is spending money on a court case, a judgment against KPFA, brought by a lawyer, our resident lawyer, saying that what we did was the right thing.
Excuse me.
That's point of order. That's what he's saying.
He's not our resident lawyer.
He's
a wrong characterization.
People are taking advice. You're interrupting me. People are taking advice from our resident lawyer here, and that is not appropriate in my view. We have a lawyer. It's the Pacifica lawyer that we have. That is representing us. We don't have a resident lawyer and resident lawyers giving us advice, which we, Pacifica and KPFA, are going to be paying for by this lawsuit, which could go on for many, many months, maybe even years. I know about lawyers. I know about lawyers. You can go on and on and on. Who's paying for the lawyers? Really? Who's paying for the lawyers? Yeah, well, I'm a little fed up.
Well, stop.
Spending
you
time
don't get
at our
to yell.
Talking about spending the intricacies
you know, you
of
can
the law
leave, Steve, if you're going to keep yelling.
No, I'm not yelling.
Yes,
I'm
you are yelling. I think everyone knows
I
that
think
you are.
We should. You know, we're spending more time on the lawyers, like the bankruptcy. We spent all this time on the bankruptcy, over and over, hours and hours on the bankruptcy. What about the job of having committees, like a finance committee, like a tech committee, like an outreach committee of our board? It seems like people aren't interested in subcommittees of our board, but they're interested in coming here and talking about the intricacies of the law. That's what they're interested in. And I find that abhorrent, really.
Okay, next is, first of all, I would like for a point of clarification. I really strongly object to you characterizing Bill Campisi as our resident lawyer. He is an attorney. He has the right to file cases in court. He has not filed a case citing that it is for the LSB specifically. It is not accurate to state that. I just want to say that. We had Bill Campisi is next. Oh, I'm sorry. Your name is before Bill's. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes. First, I just want to say I'm glad, Chris, that things are better on the PMB. I actually stopped listening, so I haven't been listening to the PMB. And I just want to point out that we on this LSB actually used to have relatively peaceful and calm meetings and even get things done. And now we seem to have devolved. I am reminded of this phrase, which I just keeps running through my mind, evolve or die. And Pacifica needs to evolve or it is going to die. I just want to point out that this whole thing started because Tom got 4 votes after he said he was working on a signal swap for KPFA, and yet the PNB decided to tell us what to do. And, you know, we objected to that, and we have that right, and we have the right to represent our members. I really feel sad that this LSB has become this, and we no longer can do anything because, you know, we got sucked into to the Pacifica dysfunction. We're all arguing about which list to use. We argue about, whether it's a mandatory or prohibitory injunction. And honestly, I just don't care. I want to say that I said a long time ago that this LSB should not seat anybody, should not make any rulings. And that's what I think we should do. I don't think we're not forced to do anything. We can take, the PNB took 45 minutes to do roll call. We can take as much time as we want to work on our process for who's going to fill this, and that's just what I think we should do. We've got a group here. Let's just continue doing what we can for KPFA within the dysfunction of Pacifica. I mean, the PNB has put the KPFA buildings up for sale. I think that's what we should be talking about and what our strategy is going to be for KPFA when those loans that are supposedly so great cannot be repaid. That's what we need to be talking about, and that's what I want to talk about.
Thank you. We had Carol Wilson.
Evolve or die.
Thank you, and I want to make a suggestion that we've kind of talked this to death. So unless somebody has something really new to add to the discussion, I would like to take a break after Carol Wolfley and after we finish up this particular...
Christina, I have been trying to get on the stack for the last...
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. You're invisible. Okay, so Bill Campisi's next, and then Carol Wolfley, and then we'll break. Yeah, after we continue with the motion, right. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, The way this came down is it appeared that the PNB was maneuvering to get its preferred candidate on the board. That's the way it looked to some of us. Some of us looked at it another way. But they took advantage of what they believed was an improper election procedure to appoint someone to the board. They didn't come to us, Alex Steinberg and Grace Ahrens and Jen, they didn't come to us and say, could you please redo the election, which I think we would have redone. They didn't talk to us about it. They just passed the motion and said, this is how it's going to be because we say so. From my perspective, that violates the bylaws, and it violates a fundamental principle of these kinds of organizations, which is when you have elected directors, then you have to have elections. Directors don't get to decide how the elections come out. Then you might as well have a self-appointed board. Either you're going to have elections that the board can't decide how they turn out, or you're just going to have a self-appointed board. That's a basic organizational principle of organizations which have elected directors. And that's what it says in Robert's Rules of Order, which is 100 and, odd years old. So it's an important principle. The other side, the PNB, could have behaved differently as well. They could have come to us, and then we could have said, okay, let's work this out. also, fundamentally, is it a, if you, the, Article 4, Section 2 is a vetting procedure for delegates. That's the concept behind Article 4, Section 2. People get to know who's running for delegate. They get some background on the person. The person has to sign a fair campaign practices provision, etc. So the whole idea is to vet people who are going to become delegates. If you just are forced to take anybody who votes for himself off a write-in list, that's not sensible. That's ridiculous. And in fact, the bylaws don't mention write-ins, and the bylaws which call for Article 4, Section 10, which Carol Kravitz was trying to read to you, says that anybody who's going to be appointed from a list has to meet the requirements of
Time.
Article 4, Section 2.
Thank you very much, Bill. That's a good clarification. And we had Carol W., Carol W., and then me, and then we're going to...
I have two motions, and I'm...
We can't do a motion. We're on another motion.
Well, I'm not making a motion. I want to read the motion as part of my time. Okay. So what I'd like to do then is I would like to move... I don't have a motion, but I want to move that we table Steve Zeltzer's motion until we have time to really look into these questions in depth and to get information to make a more informed decision about how we want to work and with these many things. Now, so I move to table Steve Zeltzer's motion.
Is there a second?
Steve Zeltzer says a motion to abide by the court judgment on KPFA delegate on KPFA delegates and election.
I have a second on the tabling, so we're voting on the motion to table now.
I'd like to make a point of order. I'm sure this isn't in Robert's rules, but this is cowardly to try to sidetrack or table Steve's motion when he hasn't even had a chance to motivate it, when it hasn't even been put before the body for discussion. I mean, come on, let's have some honesty here.
Excuse me. I think we've been discussing it for the situation for quite a while now. That's taken up a lot of our time, so I'm going to allow it. So on the motion to table, all those in favor?
Let's have a roll call if you're going to do this.
Okay. The one currently that we're voting on or his?
We're moving to table his.
Yes, that was the prior motion. And no, it wasn't just that. It was to... It was motion by Steve Zeltzer to abide by the court judgment on KPFA delegates election... This is a little confusing to me because my understanding is the court hasn't really made a final determination at this point. It's under appeal.
Yes, it has.
Right. Carol T.
I think it's vague and ambiguous. I mean, if we're abiding by the court includes an appeal. So
that's
it
correct.
Could be we could just be doing by the appeal. It's been appealed. You said that, then you her addition of trial court is clarifying your motion, but you don't want it in there. Then it doesn't make any sense. It's meaningless.
Let's
vote on a meaningless motion.
Thank you. It is pretty meaningless because the court is still in the courts. So I'm just wanting to bring that up. There is no final determination at this point. So it's under appeal. So we're voting now on the motion to table the motion, and it will be done by roll call.
Okay, get ready. Sharon Adams.
Okay, I vote to table. Does that mean yes?
That means yes,
okay,
vote to
yes,
table.
Yes, I vote to table.
Yes means vote to table. No means vote not to table or abstain. Sharon Adams, yes. Marilla Arguelles. Marilla, yes. William Campisi.
Is this the motion to table?
Yes.
I step.
Yes.
I vote in favor of the motion to table.
William Campisi, yes. Chris Corey. Chris Corey abstain. Brian, Christina Huggins.
Yes.
Christina Huggins, yes. Scott Olson. Is Scott on?
Yes.
Scott Olson, yes. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka, yes. Ramses Tion Nichols. Ramses is Dasai. Okay, I'm going to mark, circle back. Thanks. Carol Travis. Carol Travis, yes. Tom Voorhees. Tom Voorhees, no. Carol Wolfley, yes. Anthony Fest. Anthony Fest, no. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina Jacobs, abstain. Tim Lynch. Tim Lynch, yes. Richard Walensky. I'm writing in no vote. I'll just thank you. Let's not go there if we can. Okay, I'll write in whatever you want. Okay, Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer, no. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, yes. 1, 2, 3, no. And 1, 2, 3, abstain. Carol Travis, abstain. So that changes all my numbers, Carol. 8, 3, 4. And I want to just check back about Ramses, are you there? So I'm going to have him not present.
Okay, so motion to table passes. We have PNB reports are the next on the next item on the list. I think that we all could use a break if people are, well, and then we can come back into PNB reports in the executive session after that. People amenable, 20 minutes, half an hour, what do you think? What is 20 minutes? Okay. Yeah, we don't want to be here all day. We do have a cutoff time for the room. So, but it is, what is our cut? Carol? Is it 2:30? Is it? What's our cutoff time for the room? Okay. 3:30. Yeah, 20 minutes. Okay, thank you. We're calling the meeting note back to order. So we are on PNB reports. And who would like to give the PNB report?
Are we in executive session?
No, we're not. That is after the, if you look at the, what it says on here, it says PNB reports and follow-up on proposal for communication with PNB members is 10. And then executive session follows. Well, if people are amenable to that, then we can go ahead and go. What?
I have something.
From the PNB report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
March 18th, 2017, this is a motion, Carol Wolfley, that the KPFA LSB requests that the Pacifica National Board post minutes and agendas for all public meetings from 2016 when Janet Coburn was secretary. Do I have a second?
Any discussion? If not, then we'll take the vote. Sabrina, did you have a comment? Discussion on it? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Is anybody looking at the Zoom too? Ten yeses. And how did anybody vote on there?
Do you want me to say something? This is Bill Campisi.
We're on a vote.
Yeah. I vote yes. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes from Bill. That's 11 yeses.
Anybody else?
No, yes.
12 yes.
Okay, any no?
Yeah. Here.
Did he say yes?
Yes,
13. Okay, 13 yeses. All those opposed? Abstentions? Was that opposed or abstention, Anthony? One abstention. The motion, I'm sorry, what? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. For open session? Okay, go ahead, Sabrina.
This is in reference to the loans that are going to be happening, hopefully. Jury's still out on that. But this is information that has been passed through the CFO. And his outlook has been mostly ignored, but 'cause he always has bad news. Because that's how bad the situation is, the financial situation is for Pacifica. He predicts that he's not predicting, this is where we are as far as reporting our financial situation. There has to be a particular amount of reports, audits, statements, et cetera, that need to be given to the folks that are providing the monies for the loan. And since our audits are not complete, we don't have financial statements. And the financial statements that we are getting, they're not on time. But we've got a honeymoon period of about 3 months from the date that these loan documents are signed. So we're pretty good right now. Once we get to the six-month mark, the loan agency, group, people, what have you, they're requiring those audits. Every month we have to have that information. So once we get to the six-month period, if we don't have that information, then they're going to start poking us for it and asking us for it. What's going on? And we need to have the financial statements on our pensions, everything, all the monies that are going through. So they're going to start asking around the six-month mark. At the nine-month mark, we're going to start getting the hey, you're not in compliance letters. Hey, what's going on here? Once we get to the 12-month mark, we will be in clear default and run the risk of yet another batch of lawsuits and most likely a Chapter 7. And within the loan documents that Pacifica has received so far, these conditions must be complied with in order to stay out of default. And that's all I have to report. It's not as, I mean, we're getting along on the PNB, but, I mean, you know, it's like one hand's full, the other one's not, you know.
I see. Sharon had her hand up first and then Steve.
I just wanted to clarify because I didn't quite catch what you were saying there because you said it kind of fast. So what they're requiring when you said financial documents, what are they looking for exactly?
Well, every organization has to be able to provide that information. A lot of it's public information that they post on their website, like audits. Our audits are behind. And that's one of... Are they? No, that's with any loan document. That's with any loan document. No, it doesn't need to be an executive session. These are requirements that anybody would have to adhere to if they're taking out a loan, so...
Okay.
And everybody knows our loans, our audits are behind. So,
thank you, Steve.
people, is there a list of the people who are making the loans?
No.
So is it when the loan
And if it was, I wouldn't be able to disclose that to you.
Well,
anyway.
When they make the loan, though, I mean, uh-huh. the loan is made, then they have to provide a list, I would believe.
Yeah.
Of who's loaning us the money?
Yes. I'm right there with
you. We don't find out until we get the loan. Who's
right.
loaning
exactly.
the money?
Exactly, yeah.
is that your report? Go ahead, Sharon.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say I move that we go into executive session. I don't know if it requires a motion.
Unless anybody else. I think she finished her report, so I don't even know if it really requires a motion. If she's through, then we're going into executive session. Thank you.
Wait.
Okay, wait. Go ahead. Regular session.
You can't make me.
Okay. Are we back in regular? Do you have it? Is it on, Tim? Okay. Thank you. So back into regular session. In executive session, we discussed financial negotiations and matters of a confidential nature. Thank you. And now we are on the treasurer's report.
Hi, this is Carol Spooner, the LSB treasurer. And I put at everybody's seat a copy of the most recent income and expense report that we have at Pacifica. And it is from October of 2017, which is 5 months ago. so I want to point out that our accounting system is not working. We should be getting these monthly. We should be getting them really, with some wiggle room around the 15th of the month following the previous month. So the fact that we can't do that is a problem.
I have to leave, and I'm going to be taking Zoom with me. So goodbye, Zoom.
Goodbye, Zoom. If you're there, I'm sorry you're missing the report. so that's a problem that I think the National Finance Committee needs to work on and really address what needs to happen for that to... as Pacific moves forward to perhaps take out loans, the loans will want regular financial reports, and not just audits, but regular up-to-date financial reports. So we need to get to the place where we can produce those again, which we haven't done since about 2012. It's a big problem. I want to, because this is so far out of date, it's 5 months out of date, it's not really relevant to anything much that you need to think about, but as far as what it says. But the front page does have income, a summary of income and expenses. And I wanted to point out one thing that's important, which is these things are cyclical. A month where we have a fund drive, you get a lot of income. A month where we don't have a fund drive, you don't get a lot of income. So if you look at this of October 17, 2017, we did not have a fund drive, and we were deficit spending. We had a net loss for that particular month. The month before, which is everything to the blue line, to the left of the blue line, which was September 2017, we did have a fund drive, and that particular month we were in the black by $280,000. So when you look at financial reports, don't freak out if this particular month is showing a deficit. You have to look over a period of time. Okay, one other salient point here is this is the October 2017 report, and it shows the totals for the prior fiscal year so that you can compare as we move forward. October this year is worse than October last year. Our net our net loss for October this year was $219,000. For October last year, it was $126,000. So I don't know what made the difference, but that's good to see. I mean, it's important to be watching these things. How are we doing year over year? The other thing I wanted... Yeah, go ahead. Could you wait till I finish and maybe... Yeah. Yeah, there's usually some reasons for these things, and it's good to notice them and then ask questions. And ask, if I don't know the answer because I haven't asked the question, then what I'll do is I'll talk to Maria and get answers. The other thing is that the fiscal year, total for the fiscal year 2017 on this sheet of paper is quite a bit better than the total that was shown for the whole fiscal year as of the end of September. So they made some adjustments between the September 30th, 2017 report and the October 31st, 2017 report. I asked Maria about that. Why are we showing that we didn't lose money last year when before we were showing that we did? It showed we had a $270,000 deficit, and this shows we had a $55,000 surplus. And she explained to me that the fund drive, it was held in September. They got a lot of credit card payments, as they always do, but they didn't run the credit cards in October. I mean, in September, Chris didn't, they're too busy, didn't get to it until October. So it was actually counts under accounting rules because they had the credit card pledge and the number. It counts as money that they received and can book as income for September. So that adjustment was made. So that actually makes last year not so bad. I was very concerned at a $270,000 loss, but it's actually a $55,000 surplus, and that's better. I will... be working with Maria. I'm going to try to get a few more things for us on a regular basis, like a monthly statement of how much cash we have in the bank and what our accounts payable are. And I'll try to keep this brief, and that's it for now. As a result of this, not forgetting that you have a question, as a result of the PNB's activities, I would propose a motion that somebody make and say so moved and seconded that the LSB confirms me as the treasurer because the bylaws do not require a delegate to serve as the treasurer. If you would just simply pass that motion so that I can forward it to the Finance Committee to make sure they understand that. Okay, so wait until the end.
We'll wait until the end. Chris had something to say.
Okay. I was just going to ask about the. I thought that that's probably what happened with the profit versus loss thing, that with accruing the credit card payments into the fiscal year in question. So I was just going to ask about that, but you brought it up on your own. So thank you.
Yeah.
And, we had a question.
I'm sorry,
Steve. Did you have a question, or was it
Tim?
Thank you, Tim.
So I don't know if it's a question. I guess I'll frame it as a question. Is it possible that the September 2016 was so much different than 2017 is because the fund drive went into October in the previous year, and this year we ended it before September 30th. So I think that's possibly the reason for the big difference.
Right. I think that's quite possible. I try to pay attention as to when the fund drives, because it were overlapping fiscal years. It was a very bad practice to have a fund drive in part half and half. They used to always start them in October. Now they're telling me they always start them in September. But there may be some that are straddling fiscal years, and that you're not really measuring the same number of fund drives year over year, and that can be very confusing when you're saying, are we doing better or are we doing worse?
Right. I think that was the case in 16, and that they fixed it for 17.
Yeah.
So. I think so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
So,
go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to suggest that a motion be passed that we confirm that our treasurer is our treasurer.
And not required to be a delegate.
That's
the bylaws. We don't need to.
We don't need to affirm that. That's in the bylaws. But I just
I think you should state it explicitly so that I can, make it easy for people, not hard.
Go ahead, Carol.
I want to speak to this because we have just gone through a lot of turmoil because of electoral procedures. So part of the process for any election is that it has to be notified. Like there are LSB members who may want to attend. So any electoral action needs to be noticed before the meeting. So I would propose that we put that on the agenda for the upcoming meeting.
Well, I would say this isn't an election. It's a ratification.
It's an appointment.
I'll withdraw the motion.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
That means we will not be represented.
What did you withdrew it? Yeah, okay.
Just to oppose the motion, that means we will. Well, I guess Chris will be at the next Finance Committee meeting, but I won't.
Okay, thank you. Anthony?
Yeah, I have a question, Carol. When you say the... There's too much of a time lag in numbers being produced. What is the source of that time lag? Is it the KPFA business office? Is it the Pacifica National office? Where is the problem? And is it owing to understaffing or what?
Well, as you know, I'm new to the National Finance Committee, but actually we have not been doing them on time since, I think, 2012, 2013. Have not been able to regularly every month get them done. And I think the reasons change. There's been a lot of turnover at the national office. There's been turnover amongst the business managers. Some stations can produce them on time, others can't. They keep trying to find somebody, who can handle PFW and BAI, and then they move it to LA and they can't do it, and they do it here. And then most recently, I think they lost Efren in the national office, who was a whiz. And I don't know that they have somebody who is as capable right now.
And so they all have separate systems, right?
BAI uses QuickBooks, but that's not their official book. Somebody else in the national office does. It's really crazy. Also, their software is... out of date. It's 10 years out of date. They don't have a maintenance contract. It's very difficult to produce what should be a simple thing. An income and expense report and a balance sheet I can do on QuickBooks in 20 minutes. But their Great Plains system doesn't do it automatically.
Okay.
So process-wise, this begins in the KPFA business office, but then it also has to go through the national office before?
This report that you have from KPFA was one sheet out of a consolidated financial report that had all five stations and the national units. And you have to have them all. They have to have them all, and this was generated in the national office from data that was provided by KPFA.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Maria about that. Maybe. She said maybe, but she does. Her software won't do it, so it would add to her burdens of work. And she's not just doing bookkeeping. She's also facilities, and she has been operations, although I hear they've got somebody new for operations.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to take a moment to thank Tim Lynch for his great Grateful Dead fundraising day that raised a lot of money. We're out of executive session. I didn't know you. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. We thought you left. I'm sorry. Well, that sounds like a lot more fun. anyway, yes, thank you for... there was a major contribution to KPFA that came from the Grateful Dead fundraiser that Tim did.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll move on to old business. Absolutely not. Go for it.
I just wanted to point out that most businesses have like a cost of goods sold, so you need a certain amount of revenue in order to clear a profit. But this business is different. It has pretty much fixed costs. So KPFA needs about $300,000 a month. If it doesn't get $300,000 a month in revenue, then it had better have gotten $300,000 or more in some previous month, or it's not going to clear that hurdle. So that's kind of a target that the station needs to think about pretty much constantly. If we have 16,000 members, that's $200 per member per year. That's another number that should be thought about constantly. It's an interesting business in that way. The only alternative to raising money constantly is to have very lucrative fund drives and then live off of the proceeds. So anyway, just pointing out just kind of an obvious fact of the business.
Thank you, Chris. What did you?
Okay. So the next issue is proposed bylaw amendments from October 17, 2017, and I know that I myself am not an elected member of the governance committee at this time, but maybe Anthony has. Did you have any report about the bylaws or where things were on the bylaws committee? I think you're continuing. So has that met, I mean, the governance committee and where things are with the bylaws nationally?
I've had no word that the committee has convened at all.
I think at the last meeting, a meeting of you, that there was somebody appointed to convene governance, and I don't know, does anybody know who that was or what's happening with governance nationally? So, and Carol's gone, so. Appointed for all the committees from the PNB. Do you want to call Janet and ask her who's convening governance? I mean, the reason that I think governance is important, and this goes back to what Carol Spooner was saying, is if we're not having elections, then maybe one way to work around not having elections is to really begin looking at the bylaws and how the bylaws need to be amended to be more workable for the organization. And also there were some proposals that would have affected the elections for 2018. And so anyway, I had been asked with some people on the national level to look at some issues, and I'll just read what I have, if that's okay. Considerations for new bylaws: that the boards are too large, that there's uneven representation. So in the case of KPFA, where you have maybe 16,000 or so members, they're being represented by four people, where you may have a station where they have 6,000 members and they have the same representation. There has been a lot of participation in making serious financial decisions where people who are elected maybe by a few votes at some of the stations have no skill in the areas, but and yet they are making very significant decisions. There's parliamentary discord at times, and there's difficulties with filling vacancies. So we have a need to solicit input for possible changes, consider a membership vote on changes in the bylaws, how do we work through changing the bylaws, and key changes related to the Pacifica National Board might be a National Board needs people with communication skills and ability to work as a team, ability to raise money, legal skills, accounting and financial skills, experience with broadcasting, management skills, and human resource skills. Consider reducing the size of the boards to 11 people and some combination of elected or appointed members with an uneven number to avoid deadlocks. Consider possibilities for at-large elections or appointments with requirements based on identified criteria for skills and experience. Consider possibilities for elections to be simplified and done electronically as much as possible. Develop policies for filling vacancies by board appointment, removing disruptive members, workable meeting agreements and timelines. And this is one of the things that Sharon has talked about. Consider rotating local hosting of national meetings at each of the stations with teleconferencing for the board members so people can get to know each other. And replace local boards with program councils. Program councils would review CAB recommendations and have the power to make programming policy. Thanks.
Before we go further, I just would interject that one of the things from the report that Carol said is their priority right now at the Pacifica National Board level is dealing with the existential crisis. And I guess they're sort of putting other stuff behind that is my impression from what she said. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think governance is an important question, and certainly for KPFA it's an important question, and maybe we should establish a governance committee where people who are concerned about that on our board can actually be on a committee and make a report on what's going on at KPFA as far as governance.
We can put that on the agenda for next the next meeting, possibly. Go ahead, Aki.
So I put together the election timeline committees for this year. So I have all the lists of all of the committees. Only one I was waiting for is WBAI. And then they had a kerfuffle over there on Wednesday, so they didn't get to choose the committee again this year. So we'll keep the old one. But I'll send out the governance committee list that I have, and I'll ask somebody to convene it. We've got the audit and finance committee going, so those are the critical ones that's already done. So we get the governance next. So I'll take care of that one.
Thank you, Aki. And Sharon.
Earlier, Steve, you said that you weren't allowed to sit on the audit committee, but then I'm confused whether you were or weren't. Because what I'm wondering is if we should also, if we're going to schedule elections for next meeting, if we should schedule elections for the committees, if we need to do that again.
As I understand it, the PNB has voted not to accept our elections to committees in the PNB. Okay, which means that I attended one meeting and I'm not on the PNB audit committee anymore, and neither of the other people have been elected because they're not accepting our elections.
Right.
So until that changes, until the PNB changes, we're not going to be members of these committees that we voted on. That's what I...
I think what that means is we can just have elections next month now that
right.
We've clarified our...
Well, we can have elections, but the PNB has to make a decision to approve our elections. That's the whole point. I mean, if they don't approve our elections, it doesn't matter what we do because they can say we're not going to have you on the committee. That's the point.
We understand that. We can still have another election and go ahead, Carol. Microphone.
Yeah, if there's no issue of delegates that the PNB doesn't approve of, I don't intend to vote here. You can have an election.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I think we should definitely put out whatever notices must be put out and redo these elections.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we can do that at the next meeting. Si se puede. Okay. Is there any other old business?
Yeah.
Okay, there is the question of evaluations. I'd like to see a show of hands. I have about two or three times sent the forms to all of you for evaluation of program director and general manager. And I'd like to see if people have read those and if they're prepared to approve those, or if we need to table this and you could review them for the next meeting, or we could read them now.
Yeah, I've never received the forms. Yeah. So I think we have to table. But also, the program manager, has the program manager ever come into our committee? Program director?
Yeah. Wait, has he been recognized?
I think that if you're going to
evaluate... Steve, you haven't been recognized for the chair. So what I would like to request is that everybody, I'll send them, read them. Let me say there's two things. We're responsible to evaluate the program director and the general manager. So the way that it was done in the past is that there are two ways that the evaluations happen. One, information goes to the staff. So the staff will receive evaluation forms and fill them out. And also the LSB, if we have knowledge about areas of performance that we want to write about, that we also can submit information. Then all of that is gathered for both of those people, and it's easier to do it all at once for both the program director and the general manager than to do it separately. So please, Christina, did you want to say something?
I was just going to say, why don't we resend the forms to people and then take it up at the next meeting? Because it's getting very late. We're losing people. And, yeah, Richard and then Steve. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh.
Is that okay?
I think it's very problematic for staff members on the LSB to be double booked on this. I mean, we're staff members. We should be just as staff members, not as LSB members, and we shouldn't be both.
Very nice. I agree. It's hard to be two people.
Thank you. Sharon had her. Steve had his hand up first, and then Sharon.
Well, okay. I think we have to put this off till the next meeting, but. Frankly, I mean, I have a serious concern about making evaluations on people who I haven't seen or we haven't had a report of from. We've had programming changes at KPFA. We have never had a report that I know of from the program director. How do you get any kind of interaction or discussion of what's going on? I mean, it makes it very difficult to have any kind of serious evaluation. And I think that that's a problem that we have to address.
Okay, we read the forms. We'll have a discussion about this at the next meeting. Sharon, you want to say something?
I just wanted to say to just what Richard said was that the last time we did actually do an evaluation where we evaluated Quincy, Brian Edward Steekert was on the committee that evaluated him. So, I mean, just saying that was the precedent in the past.
Okay, well, we'll take it up next meeting. And we have other old business, or is that... Is that old business? Is that old business? Okay. Wait. Tim?
I guess I have a question or concern.
We have some. We want to get this over with.
I don't feel like I should necessarily lose my right as an LSB member to evaluate management just because I'm a staff member. I mean, this is one of the responsibilities of an LSB member is to evaluate management. And I don't necessarily think that as a staff member I should lose that or not participate in that. So I don't think it's an open and shut question by any means. And I think precedent... does suggest that all members of the LSB participate in evaluation of management.
Okay. We'll have a discussion next meeting about this and be thinking about how you want to present the information.
I'll probably make the same point you do, which is if we're going to do an evaluation, at least you know staff members do know something. Board members don't know anything. And so I think this was probably your point, too. There's got to be some kind of way for an evaluation to occur. I don't know what that is, and maybe we can discuss it next time.
Look at the forms. We'll discuss it next meeting. Okay. Yes, we're...
Move the agenda?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. But, Aki?
I just wanted to get a clarification of... what the status of Susan and Cal is going forward. I think I sort of missed exactly what's going to happen.
Going forward, we're waiting for questions to be answered. I think it was stated at the beginning of the meeting. So they're not voting right now because we don't want challenges to come up for that. But until we have some questions answered further, they'll be in that little gray area.
Now, how long
she's sitting
do you think they'll
chair.
Go on?
But does she count the quorum?
This could go for years.
It won't go on for years.
Well, there's a court case. It could go on for years. It's appealed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could go on for years.
We'll talk about this at the next meeting. For now, it's a gray area, as I said, which I stated at the beginning of the meeting. Thank you, Aki. You're welcome.
We have a
motion that was from last two meetings, I think,
yes,
that Steve had wanted to make.
So I made a motion that we have a subcommittee, LSB Technology and Multimedia Committee. And there are a number of people, I think Tom and others, who are agreeable to be on that committee. I propose that we vote to set up a subcommittee and start investigating and making reports to the local station board. That was the motion.
Aki?
I think that's the reason why I made the suggestion earlier that it doesn't have to go on for years. The PNB basically asks us to do revote. Get the write-in list, right? So we can go through that process and then find out, who is qualified and take a vote. We can do that pretty soon. We don't need to wait 1 year.
I think
we just follow what the PNB
I think we're on another motion.
I understand that. We're on a different motion now, but thank you, Aki. Point taken.
Point of information.
So the motion is...
Steve has his...
Point of information, we need a quorum, and I'm only looking around, I see 12 people.
You don't need a quorum. Once the meeting has started, you do not need a quorum to vote after people are allowed to leave.
Okay, Carol?
Okay, one of the reasons, I think, Steve, why we don't have, quote, LSB committees is because they require... notice posting on the Pacifica National Board and on the KPFA website and, submitting minutes of the meetings and all those things. So I'm wondering if I would like to see, how I wonder if it's possible to have a list of names of people who are interested in this, because if it's just you and Tom, that's one thing. If it's you and Tom and five people and you've got a chair who's willing to post it and take responsibility so that we are in compliance with our processes, I think then it would be helpful for us to establish a committee. If it's going to be a committee and people don't know how to post it or don't know how to do those things, then it's more problematic, or if it's only two people. So can you tell us a little bit more about who's going to be on it and who's able to take care of those kinds of responsibilities?
Thank you.
It's an open committee to any board member who's interested in this issue. So, I am interested. I mean, Tom is interested, and I think he was interested. So I propose that we vote to have a committee. We have some meetings and try to get some reports and function as a committee. I mean, this is getting a little,
Okay, Sharon had her hand up first.
Okay, it's fine if you want to have a committee. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying you could also just phrase it as a task force, and then you're not required to have all these compliance and post it. If you want to do all the posting thing, that's fine. But you can also just make it a task force, and then you wouldn't have to have the official requirements about posting it on the website and stuff like that.
Do we need to have a vote on that, or can we just do it?
No, they can. We don't need to. They can just do it. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Anthony, I'm sorry I skipped over you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's quite all right. I just want to make sure we don't finish this item and then instantly adjourn, because there's a little announcement I want to make.
Now we have till 3:15, so we still have a little wiggle room. Yes, Susan.
So if they have a task force, they could ask to have time on the agenda, and it would probably be good for everyone to hear what they have to say, and et
yes.
cetera, right?
Okay. Yeah, you can always ask for that. Okay. Yeah? Sure. It's great.
So for the minutes, I'm going to write that that it was decided that a task force will be established.
Great. Make it so. Beam me up. I don't know that it's a voluntary task force. I don't think it's necessary. Unless somebody has an objection to it, I think we're fine. Right? Okay. So we're close. Did you want to say more, Anthony?
Yeah, this hasn't been brought up yet in the meeting, but there's been some very sad news since the previous LSB meeting, and that is that one of our programmers is no longer with us, and that's Veronica Faison, who hosted the Sunday night talk show called The Week Starts Here. She also had other items on her resume. For a time, well, first she was a graduate of the apprenticeship program. She, for a time, when Andrew Phillips was GM, she was assistant to the GM. Also, I was acquainted with her because she was a capable Sunday evening news board op. But of course, she was best known to our audience as the host of that Sunday night talk show, which I think was rather unique for KPFA, because she expressly said that we don't talk about politics here. She steered clear of that. She had her own course. So I hope we'll all remember Veronica Faison.
Thank you, Anthony, for that.
And I want to add that as somebody who would go into her office in those days and hang out with her, she's quite a bright woman, mm-hmm. and we had some great conversations. Do we know how she... the reasons for her passing?
She was very ill.
I guess I don't know any more than what you've already probably saw in the staff memo, just that it was unexpected. I haven't heard anything more.
And I also want to just hold on Dave Welch in our thoughts. Dave was a longtime member of the KPFA LSB and great activist. No, he is in the hospital. He was hit by a car walking as a pedestrian in San Francisco. He's in San Francisco General. So he's recovering, but hold him in our thoughts. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, yeah, we all wish him a quick recovery and that he'll be okay. There's too many pedestrian deaths in the San Francisco and injuries these days. It's pretty crazy there. Do we have any? Is there any? That's old business, right? Okay. Do we have any new business? Next, well, I wanted to ask General. That was one of the new businesses. I guess that's it. Okay, go ahead. Biannual town hall meetings.
So, under our bylaws, part of the responsibility of the local station board is to have semi-annual town hall meetings. And I think that we should have that. I mean, it's an organized way of the members of KPFA and supporters of KPFA participating, discussing issues of concern. And, you know, maybe one of the first ones could be on multimedia and technology. And that would be good to get an interaction going where we could talk about what can be done to build up KPFA and Pacifica. So my proposal is that we start to have semi-annual meetings, and the first one could be on multimedia and new technology. That's a motion.
Do I have a second? I think it was Merle a second. Discussion? Richard? Okay, if you can find a place for us, that'd be great, Steve. Thank you. Tim?
Since we just formed a task force about 10 minutes ago on this, before we actually call a town hall meeting, perhaps the task force would want to meet and make some recommendations. I think we may be getting a little ahead of ourselves to have a town hall meeting on a subject that the task force hasn't even met yet on.
Well, I would request that we actually, as a group, at the next meeting, Steve can look for places and stuff, but we would need to discuss the time and the place and setting it. But he's willing to do the footwork to look at and see where it could be and stuff. But I think it should be a group decision as to when and stuff. And I would hope that more of us could attend it as well, because that would be important for us to be there as well, as many of our board members as possible. Anthony?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is one of those.
Your time's up, Anthony.
That was a fast 2 minutes. This is also one of those items that's in the bylaws that we've not been following for many years, so we need to get with it.
Right. We're in agreement. Steve? Oh, Marilla, I'm sorry.
One of the things that I think the group has generally agreed with is that we need to do more outreach to college students and universities. Maybe it would be possible to have the meeting at different schools and rotate them.
Yeah, that's an idea. Having a school or university, that's a possibility. The other thing is, it seems from Quincy's report there's some support, financial support, from people in Silicon Valley. Hmm. You know, that support KPFA Pacifica. We don't know who they are. But it would be good to have some people from technology involved in supporting us, having events, you know, talking about how we can use technology to build up KPFA and Pacifica. So that's something also, but definitely young people. We want young people to come, you know, that kind of
thing. Is there any other new business? Tom.
Yeah, I'm. what is the status of the KFCF seat on this board? We haven't seen anybody from KFCF in several months. Do we have an answer to that question?
He resigned.
No, I understand he resigned, but KFCF has a seat on this board, which has not been filled for several months. So, I mean, what is the status of that at this point?
I'm not sure if we can draft someone. Go ahead, Sharon.
I could be wrong, but my understanding is that it's not required that the seat be filled. It's just they have an option of having somebody on this board. So when Rich resigned, I guess they decided not to send anybody else. That's what I understand.
Thank you, Sharon. Any other new business?
Can I follow up a little bit? I mean, can we get that situation clarified somehow? I mean, who would be appropriate to do that?
We'll have to double-check the bylaws, because the bylaws would govern that, whether it's mandatory or whether it's, as Sharon says, it's an optional thing. If it's optional, then we're not going to compel somebody or be able to. And that's...
Yeah, but can't someone just send an email to Rich Withers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. I don't think I'm real popular with Rich at the moment, but I'll do it anyhow.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Yes, you're a member of
okay.
Our board, so you certainly
unless
have
you
the...
want me to do it, I'm more popular with him.
Well,
I mean, you know, I don't think it matters, but I mean, just ask him for clarification. If you want just send me what you want to say, and I'll forward it to them under my name, if that makes you feel better.
Well, my interest here is are they going to provide somebody to sit on the board or not?
Right. We need to find that out. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you can ask if you want to.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. All in favor? All right. Thank you, people. Thanks, everybody who came to attend. And thank you, Tim and Anthony, for and Tom, I guess, for putting together the...